If someone came up to you and said, I'll give you your weight in gold if you can lift it, how many of you would walk away a rich person? The other day, a delivery person came to my house with a box of paper plus one additional ream. This paper was 11 by 17 in size, 3,000 sheets total, and I would guess it would weigh probably around 60 to 70 pounds in weight. The person who brought this paper to deliver it was a young lady in her early 20s and probably weighed herself about 115 pounds to my guess. And I told her she had come up in a little delivery truck, and I said, I'll go around to the garage door and open the door, and then I'll come back and help you get the paper in to the garage. Well, as I opened the door, there she stood by herself with the entire total weight of the box and a little ream in her hand. And I could not believe this little old girl could lift about 70 pounds as though it was just a sack of potatoes. I have never considered myself to be strong. I once had a job where I had to stack 100-pound sacks, toe sacks full of rock that would be used to make terrazzo floors, if you know what these are. I didn't last long at that job because I just physically could not stand up to 8 hours of pitching and picking up and moving 100-pound bags of rock. Now, when I think of a strong person, I think of a person who is a weightlifter, a person who enters competition as the strongest person, muscular, physically, in the world. But, of course, there's no one who can compare with the strength of the Lord. One of the praise songs that we sing in our church some Sunday mornings has this part of the verse, what a mighty God we serve, mighty implying strength and power within Himself. We've all probably seen paintings by an artist where Jesus has His arm outstretched and He's holding the whole world in His hand. Now, that's quite a feat. I couldn't lift up with one hand, probably 50 pounds. But here you have the artist depicting Christ holding the entire world. We even have a song that pictures the same thing. He's got the whole world in His hands. In my mind, as I think about God delivering the Israelites from Egypt, I can picture His mighty hand forming a dam before the tons of water coming down the Red Sea, allowing the Israelites, probably a million of them at least, to pass through on dry ground. Now, to me, that's a lot of weight. Water weighs, and there are tons and tons and tons of waters coming down that Red River, and He just begins to hold them up with His mighty power. Again, in the Bible, we find the idea that God is strong enough to stop the world from turning. He did that for Joshua. You remember that? To help him have more daylight time to win the battle against the enemies. So God has the power to hold the world in His hands, to stop the world from revolving, to hold back millions of gallons of water. Job talks about God, the ability to hold rain clouds up in the heavens. I've often wondered, how can a cloud that has so much water in it float? You know, they come over your house and they pour down rivers of waters and flood your streets, and you wonder, well, how on earth can anything that heavy float up in the air? I never had quite figured that one out. I don't know how much the earth weighs. I don't know how much a cloud weighs. But God, the Bible says, can just pick them up and lift them. I have a question for you this morning. Is there anything too heavy for God to lift? Ask you again. Is there anything too heavy for God to lift? And I want to say my answer is yes. There is something too heavy for God to lift. Most of you are probably familiar with the Bible story about Belshazzar. and the message that God wrote Belshazzar on the banquet hall wall when he was having a feast with many of his lords and ladies. You remember that he was the king of Babylon during the time of the prophet Daniel. He was hosting a banquet and using items in that banquet that had been used in worship of God, and he was using them to worship the gods of Babylon. They had been captured when Nebuchadnezzar invaded Israel, and Babylon captured the Israelites and took many of them back to Babylon. And so now Belshazzar has taken some of the things from the temple that were used by God's people, and now he's using them in worship of the false gods of Babylon. And the party was a real blast until a message appeared on the wall, seemingly written by an invisible hand. Well, I guess it wasn't invisible, by a visible hand with nothing attached to it, just a hand writing a message on the wall, and it was a message to Belshazzar. We only have two instances in the Bible where God ever wrote anything, one in the Old Testament, here where he writes to Belshazzar, and one in the New Testament where Jesus stoops down and writes in the sand. And we don't know what Jesus wrote, but we're told what he wrote to Belshazzar. Daniel chapter 5, verse 24 through verse 28. There was the part of the hand sent from him, and this was what was written. And the words, Belshazzar saw that hand up there writing, and here's what it said. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Here's the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Now in our next explanation, we have our object for today. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances, scales, and you are found wanting. And then the other one, upharsin, thy kingdom is divided and will be given to the Medes and the Persians. Now, if you want to help me here, or I mean help you a little bit, to picture a scale or a balance that would be used in the days of Belshazzar is probably the similar day of the lawyer, the attorney. What you had was a center column that rested on the table, and then atop of the center column was attached an arm that was on the kind of pivoted on top of the column, and on the end of each arm would be hanging some chains, and on the bottom of the chains would be attached a little pan, and that became the scales. And you would place a certain weight, say 1 pound, 2 pound, 3 pound, in one of the trays. And then when you wanted to weigh something, you'd keep putting so much of that item in the other pan until you came up to the weight on the other side, and of course the thing would balance. The arm would balance straight across the top. The little arrow would say zero, which means you have balanced the two sides of the scale. Now, God says here, I'm placing you, Belshazzar, in a scale like this I'm talking about. And he says, you have failed the test, and you did not weigh the right amount. Now, up until now, I've always thought of that story, and I felt that Belshazzar just didn't weigh enough to reach God's requirement and to reach God's standard. I think I'm going to change my mind and say Belshazzar weighed too much to meet God's standard. And that's what I want to preach about this morning as we look at this subject. For Belshazzar is, of course, a sinner, without doubt, and the picture, portrayal of a man who is lost, judged by God, because of his sin, whatever that sin might be. And my question is, how heavy is sin? I thought to myself as I asked this question, a lot of my sermons come to me, I just ask all kinds of questions. Many of them I can't answer. Some of them intrigue me, and I will chase them like somebody will a rabbit. So this little thought came to me. I say, Adam is sin. Then I thought, well, can you even weigh sin? Now, you can weigh the sinner, but can you weigh sin? Does sin have weight? I'm intrigued by little questions like this, and that's why I like object lessons, because they give me the opportunity to really come up with some real strange questions. Does sin have weight? Well, of course, if you're going to ask the question, you need to go to the Bible and see if you can find an answer. And if there is no answer, just dump that question and go ahead and chase some more rabbits and try to find some other thoughts. So, as I looked in the Scriptures, I found two rather interesting verses. Psalm 38:4, the psalmist says, "My iniquities have gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." So now the psalmist says, yes, sin weighs. I find it to be a very heavy burden for me. Now that's what the psalmist says about sin. Then in the book of Proverbs, Solomon says this, "The stone is heavy, and sand weighs a lot, but a fool's wrath," that is his sin, "a fool's wrath is heavier than either a rock or sand." And so to the psalmist and to Solomon in Proverbs, I say, well, they say sin has weight. Not only that, they say sin weighs a very great deal. It weighs a lot. How heavy is sin? That's the question the Lord seemed to pose to me as I began to work on this message. How heavy is sin? Then it came to me, there is something God cannot lift that is too heavy for His power and His strength alone to lift. What is it? He cannot lift sin from off the sinner. He cannot make him weightless. Please follow me now. He has the strength to hold the world in his hand. He has the strength to hold back the weight of tons of water. He has the strength to stop the world from revolving. He has the strength to carry rain clouds about in the sky, but he does not have enough strength to lift sin from off the sinner. In a scriptural, spiritual sense, when Adam sinned, he became too heavy for God to lift. Now again, let's go back to our scales. When they are empty, they are supposed to be perfectly balanced. The little arrow in the center column will be dead set right on zero. A little line, zero. Which means the scales, if they're good scales, when they are not being used, just sitting there on the table, they should be perfectly balanced. The same amount of chain, the same size of tray, everything should be exactly the same. Thus the scale will be perfectly balanced when it is empty. It seems some people have the view that God allows you so many sins per day as the minimum you can commit. And of course, in a lifetime, you can commit quite a few sins, but on the day of judgment, He'll place you in one tray, and then He'll place all the allowable sins He'll give to you in the other tray. And if you have not been real bad, you have kept yourself within the minimum limit of the sins He allows you to do. You're not too bad. You're pretty good. You're not perfect. But I mean, if you don't exceed the limit, well, then the scale will balance for the sinner. You won't exceed the amount he allows, and you'll be home free, and you'll pass the judgment. This is what some folks conceive as salvation by works. God allows me so many sins, and if I don't do more than that, well, then when I'm weighed in the balances, I will be able to pass. I won't be overly weighted down by too bad a sinful life. You can be a little sinful, but you got to watch it, because if you go too far, the scale will tip against you. But I mean, God will pack the other side of the scale with allowable sins that you can commit and get away with it. All right? And the weight that the sin side has won't be enough to sink you if you stay within that minimum. Now, I don't know how you're going to define for you what's the minimum. I want to say to you there is no allowable sin limit on God's side. I'm just saying to you, God does no such thing as I've been talking about. Most people think He does. Most people think He does. But God does not tamper with the scales when they are empty. He does not tamper with them. And when they are used, He does not tamper with them. So as the sinner approaches God's judgment scale for the weigh-in, both pans are empty. And the scale is perfectly balanced. What did God put in the scale to measure Belshazzar's life against? I want to say nothing. He put nothing in the scale as a counterweight. The scale remained empty. Only one pan was used, and that's the one Belshazzar would step into. God left the other one empty. There was nothing Belshazzar was weighed against. God makes allowance for not even one sin. Not even a pound of sin, or 2 pounds of sin, or 3 pounds of sin. I'm not even an ounce of sin. God makes no allowable. Adam found that out. And so the scale is left perfectly empty. And so when Belshazzar stepped on his side of the scale on the pan that he had to get in, I mean, it went down like a falling rock. Zoom, down it went. And of course, the empty side went up. Now, once this kind of judgment that we see on Belshazzar take place, I want to tell you people, God has no power to lift the sin from off the sinner like Belshazzar. I'm telling you, God can't lift the sin off the sinner when the judgment day comes. It's too late for God to lift the weight off the sinner. Actually, I want to be honest with you. God really never could have lifted the weight of sin off of anyone had it not been for Calvary. Had Jesus Christ, God the Son, not come down from heaven to earth and been willing to take the sinner's place, step onto the sinner's scale and go down the sinner's route and experience the sinner's judgment and experience the sinner's death and experience the sinner's torment and take that all in the sinner's place, had Jesus not been willing to do that and then come back from the grave to prove He Himself was not deserving of death, had Jesus not come to earth and had He not died on Calvary, God could have never lifted the weight of sin off of one single solitary person that ever walked on this earth, from Adam on down through us. There would have been no power in God to lift sin without the coming of Jesus Christ to become man's Savior upon this earth. Sin would have always remained too heavy for God to lift had we not had Jesus come and die in the sinner's place and become man's Savior. God could have never lifted the weight of sin. It was just too heavy. Many of you who are churchgoers are probably familiar with the hymn, "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. You know, we could change a few words in that song. I was seeking deep in the pan, far, far from the peaceful shore. Very deep the stain within, sinking down the scale to rise no more. But the master of the scale heard my despairing cry, and from his heavenly home down to earth he came and lifted me. Now safe in this scale am I. Love can lift me. Love did lift me. And when nothing else could get me out of the state I was in, love reached down and lifted me. But you see, God's love just couldn't say, I'm going to reach down and lift you, Adam. I'm just going to reach down and lift you, sinner. God said, I don't have the power to do that. Don't have the strength to do that. Jesus said, I've got the power to heal. But it takes the greater power to forgive. It's the power of the shed blood of Christ. You see, we sing there is power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of Christ. What's the power? It's lifting power. Of course, it's cleansing power. But once you get the sin taken off, folks, the scale begins to rise. Well, you see, when the sin comes off, you become weightless. It's sin that's brought you down. It's sin that's burdened you down. It's sin that's made your life heavy. And so if you remove the sin, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If I get the sin removed, I'm going to become weightless. I will have no sin to weight me down and pull me down. And so I'll rise. Not only will I rise, but I'll go all the way up to the scale reads perfect balance, perfect acceptance. And that's exactly where you want to be when you step on the scale of God's judgment. You don't want it to go down. You want to stay perfectly level. But again, I want to say, had Jesus, God the Son, not come to earth and died in the sinner's place, there would have been no way in the world God could have ever lifted the sin load off of a sinner. That's John 3:16. It's stated in a different way. For God so loved the world, the sinner sunk down in the scale of sin, that he sent his only begotten Son to make the guy weightless of sin. For God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, when the scale is perfectly balanced, the person standing in the tray gets the reward of eternal life. How you get there? You have to get sin removed, folks. Sin is what's got you weighted down. You have to get the sin removed. Get the sin removed, and you're going to have perfect balance. Perfect balance, you're going to have heaven. You're going to have heaven. Perfect balance means you have life, new life, the life that Christ can give you. And what Jesus really does in salvation, and you'll probably have never heard this expressed this way, but what he does, he makes the sinner weightless. Now, we could say he makes the sinner clean, he makes the sinner whole. These are all true expressions. But here's a new expression. You might go up to somebody and say, hey, has God made you weightless yet? Well, brethren, you better hope he has. Because you see, when you're weightless, the sin has been removed and taken away, and that's what causes you to go down in joy. That's what sunk old Belshazzar. And so, Christian, I want to say to you this morning, you are weightless. I don't care what you weigh in your body, in your spirit, you are weightless. And so you can go around saying, folks, I'm weightless. They think you're crazy. That's all right, you know. That might be a good introduction to talk to them about Jesus Christ. Have you been made weightless yet? The newest thing going And they'll think about spaceships, you know, and how these guys float around. No, we're talking about something spiritual. Uh-huh. When sin removed, then you step on the scale. And it won't drop like a rock. It won't move at all. And you're going to pass judgment. There won't be any judgment. Why? Because the sin has been removed. And everything remains perfectly balanced. I want to say to you folks in closing, there's no weight to holiness. It's sin that weighs you down. That's what the psalmist said. It's sin that weighs you down. But holiness has no weight. The whole world says that holiness is a heavy load to carry. Obeying the commands of God is a heavy load to carry through life. It'll pull you down. I want to tell you, the world is always lying. They still lie because they have the sentiments and the ideas of the devil, who is the father of lies. The truth is, folks, sin is the heavy load, not holiness, not the laws of God, not righteousness. It's sin that has weight. Holiness does not weigh you down. It does not pull you down. It does not hold you down. It lifts you up. The world just seemingly can't understand this, but that's the way it works. Holiness is weightlessness. And sin is heaviness. And so for you, weigh in at God's judgment. I tell you what, you better let Jesus lift a heavy load of sin off of you before you have to stand before judgment. You need to repent and accept Jesus Christ right now as your Lord and Savior. And then when you face the scales of God's judgment, you can be found weightless. You better be found weightless. And there's no one that can lift that weight from your spirit and soul but the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'll just ask Him right now. Repent and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior and to remove the weight of sin from your life. He'll do it. Just ask Him. Just ask Him. That's all you have to do. A lot of times when people get saved, they say, "I just feel so light. I just feel so light." Try. If you're not saved, try. Until next time.